Thank you for tuning into this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Wellbridge, Ohio. Today's homily was given by Father Anthony Cosi, pastor here at St. Jerome, on Sunday, July 25th, 2021, the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now here is Father Anthony.
Well, I'm quite jealous of Jesus today in the gospel, because he can make 5,000 people sit down. And whenever I get all the students together at the gym at Cardinal Stritch, I cannot get 500 students to sit down without the help of about 40 teachers. So the ratio of Jesus getting all these people to sit down, to me, seems to be the bigger miracle in today's story. But in all seriousness, Jesus goes up a mountain, a beautiful mountain. I had the opportunity to go to that area in the Holy Land. It's very grassy. There's some giant rock boulders there. Tell us the plain was beautiful, the grass, referring to Psalm 23. The Lord makes us lie in green pastures. And there's the ocean, the kind of sea, I could say, the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus goes up a mountain like Moses. Anytime the Lord goes up a mountain, something important is about to happen. And he performs a miracle. Before he does that miracle, he tests Philip, and he says, "Where can we get this food?" Philip does not answer the way Jesus wants. Jesus wanted Philip to ask him to be specific. "You, Lord, please, will you do it?" And the same is true of God to us. He wants us to be specific in our prayer life. How many times does a child come up to a parent and says something like, "Mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, I'm hungry." I said, "What do you want to eat?" The child said, "I'm hungry, you're speaking." And I said, "Okay, how about broccoli?" I said, "No, I don't want broccoli. How about cooking?" And I said, "No, how about drinks?" Sometimes we're not specific in our prayers. We ask God, "Now the door shall be open." God was testing Philip because he wanted him to be specific in his prayers. Jesus also did this before he did the miracle. He could have just done the miracle, because he wanted to prime the heart, he wanted to give him a little appetizer. So that just didn't happen when he thinks about it, right? The same happens for us before we receive our first communion. We have to educate, we have to teach our kids, we have to know what we're doing. Can't tell you how many times I have a wedding, funeral, whatever it is, like all across America every Sunday, there's people that don't know what they're doing that come up to make their first Holy Communion, but they're not in the Bible baptized. And they miss the miracle that takes place on the altar. But as soon as this miracle takes place, what do the people say? "Truly this is the prophet." That comes from Deuteronomy chapter 17. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 17, they call Moses the prophet. Jesus is the new Moses. In the Sistine Chapel in Rome, on one side there's the life of Moses. And he's young, being pulled out of the Nile, he was passing before he crossed over the Red Sea. And on the other side is the life of Jesus Christ, from the Nativity to the crucifixion and resurrection, to parallel that Jesus is the new Moses and the prophet. There were three prophets in the Old Testament that performed miracles: Moses, Elijah, and Elisha. Before Elijah was taken up into heaven, he said to his friend, "Ask me anything so that they can grant him." And Elisha said, "I want a double portion of your spirit." And Elisha became a very powerful prophet, which is where our first reading comes from today. He also multiplied bread, only for about 1,000 people, not 5,000 people. So here is Jesus, who's a little stronger than him, who's multiplying more loaves for them. And also it tells us in the scriptures that there was a dead man who was thrown into the grave where Elisha's bones were, and the dead man came back to life. That's how powerful this man was. They didn't use bones to affect other people. Kind of like where we get the idea of having relics as Catholics, being in the presence of those that we love in the churches, kind of sanctified. Primed upon teaching them who is the prophet, who he is. Another thing that gets overlooked is that when Philip comes up to them, Andrew's listening. Philip and Andrew are the only ones who have Greek names. So some of these people that are gathered there are Greek. They don't even know what the heck is going on in the people of Israel's lives. They don't truly understand the Hebrew scriptures, who Abraham was, who Moses was. So they're kind of like, "Hey, we're hungry here." And they gather a little kid, and Andrew goes
see Jesus, there's this kid here with some loaves and some fish. Why did they choose a kid? Because this was a Eucharistic miracle. And Jesus is giving them an appetizer of what's going to take place after the Last Supper. The Last Supper was the Jewish Passover meal. And notice the detail on the line today. They were gathering before the Passover. And when the Passover would take place, the youngest child would go up to the older person in the family and say, "Grandfather, why is this night so different from all other nights?" And the grandfather or grandmother would say, "Well, let me tell you the story of our people." And they would recount the story of Israel, how God rescued them from darkness and Egypt from slavery and brought them to a land. And they would gather as the people on that night. They would eat the bitter herbs. They would sing the same songs. And they would do the ritual acts of their ancestors. So by participating in the ritual act, they would be united with each other for all time. So Jesus is beginning the Passover. And Andrew brings a kid. And Jesus says, "Watch this kid. Took, fanned, broke, distributed." Yes. Same words in Andrew's kid. So as Jesus spoke about the shepherd, Jesus continues it today to feed the multitudes of people. This is a miracle. This is one of Jesus' miracles we found in the scripture that goes beyond our mind. But there was a movement among theologians to reject this. You know what they called it? They called it a miracle of sharing. And they said, when Jesus actually performed this miracle, all the rich people that were in the 5,000 all of a sudden pulled out of their sleeves loaves of bread and gave it to their neighbors to share. Jesus really didn't distribute and create bread for 5,000. No, that's impossible, that miracle. That could not humanly happen. Because back in ancient days, people used to carry things in their clothes, you know, for a little snack for later. But when they saw that little kid, their hearts were moved, and all the rich people that had food decided to give to their neighbors who didn't have it, and became a great sharing of bread. And this is still populated among some members of the church, and some priests probably on this Sunday will preach that to their congregations. That has effects on people's soul. Because it reduces Jesus down to justice, humiliation, and rejects all the great miracles and gifts of who he truly was. He is the new prophet and the Son. What happens when we reduce Jesus and cut out his miracles? Great danger happens. I had the opportunity to look at Thomas Jefferson's library that he had in Monticello. And it was a movement back in his day, the 1700s. He took his Bible and he cut out every part that seemed irrational, too supernatural to really happen. There must have been some made-up fairy tale about this. And you can look at his Bible, it's all like cut out. And what ends up happening is you end up getting rid of Jesus altogether. There's another movement known as the Jesus Seminar, where they wanted to tell the true Jesus away from all the miracles. What they ended up realizing was Jesus was a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. White Anglo-Saxon Protestant, rejecting who he was in the Middle East, being born of Jewish roots, and the great Messiah come forth. There's danger when we cut out the Bible, when we cherry pick from the Bible. That's called eisegesis, that is to take out the Bible. Politicians do that too once in a while. They'll say just whatever they want. Respect your neighbor. Okay? We do respect our neighbor. But in light of the whole scripture, we want our neighbor to go to heaven. We want what's not only morally good for them, but spiritually good as well. Be careful of reducing Christ to something that can only be grasped by your mind. God is taking us on a journey into his heart. And the heart has a language all on its own. And sometimes when people have Bible studies, they want to know every single detail. You know, it's good. That's a few more Bible studies. You know, they're great, right? But be careful, because if you just grab Jesus in your right brain, your left brain wants to know you too, and your heart, and your whole being. This is part of the reason, too, that sometimes I have building on that tradition of keeping the Latin involved too. Because I think the Latin kind of gets us beyond our right brain to our left brain. And say sanctus and stuff like that. That's the sound of the angels. That my mind can't totally understand it, but my heart can grasp and power it. And so God said, I did this miracle for you, and guess what? You can't even measure it. Because at the end of it, you have 12 wicker baskets full. By 12, 12 tribes of Israel. Wicker baskets, that's what the common man and so that in the next days, if you forget how amazing this was, look at how heavy those baskets are. You can't measure it. Like if you went to an oncologist and he got rid of your cancer for you, yeah, you got rid of this area and this area. Now I can measure it. He did this. Or this baseball player. He hit this many home runs. I can measure it. God says, yeah, I'm powerful, but you can't measure it in human terms. Don't reduce me to what you can measure. But to help you out, I'll say things to you in human language, but know that I am God, and I love you very much, and I feed you, just like we sang in the songs. The prophet that feeds us, that gives us a word that speaks to the human heart and answers all of our needs. We can understand the element of it now, but the rest will be explained to us.
Thank you for tuning in to this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Walbridge, Ohio. Be sure to tune in each week as Father unpacks the scriptures and shares real-life stories that help bring scripture to our lives. Please join us for Mass Tuesday through Friday at 8 a.m., Saturdays at 4:30 p.m., and Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. God bless.